God made the world and all its wonders for man to explore. And there are countless wonders just outside your front door. Now join natural world photographer and journalist Roger W. Downs as he shares the stories of the people, places, music, and cuisines he has discovered as we explore with RWD.
I don't think there's any place else on earth quite like the Pretty Place. It's a chapel set right on the side of Standing Stone Mountain outside of Greenville, South Carolina, nestled away in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Its technical name is the Fred W. Sims Chapel. And if you've never been there, oh, it is breathtaking at sunrise. It attracts hundreds of people a day, and for good reason. Hi, I'm Roger W. Downs, your host of Explore with RWD. Welcome into episode 5. And if this is your first time listening, thank you so much for taking a chance on this podcast. And if you get a chance, please subscribe on whatever platform you may be listening on. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself because we're going to chat with YMCA of Greenville Director of Camp Operations Nicholas Patton about the history behind the Pretty Place. But the reason I'm telling you about it now is because I'm a landscape, natural world, wildlife photographer, and I was drawn to the Pretty Place because of its magnificent beauty. So let me tell you that story first. So back when I first moved to Asheville, North Carolina about 10 years ago, I started researching different locations to go photograph. And that is when I stumbled across the Pretty Place. And it was amazing. Even the photos people were just taking with their cell phones of sunrise and sunset, I thought, I have got to get up there to capture my own image of the Fred W. Sims Chapel. Well, here's the trick that I quickly learned. And luckily, I looked it up online before I made the drive because it's about an hour from where I live. And that is the fact that before you go, you should check to see if the chapel is booked. Because if someone's hosting a wedding at sunrise, they certainly don't want some strange photographer up there snapping away, running around the chapel while they're trying to set up for their wedding day. Now, I've come to find that most people are pretty forgiving for a photographer who's out either being a journalist or snapping photos of a downtown district, but snapping photos of a sunrise during their wedding day, they aren't so forgiving. And the other two parts to that is, one, it has to fit into your schedule, and the weather has to cooperate. And that takes some time and a lot of prayer to finally get that date to line up. And luckily enough, it did for me not too long ago. And when that opportunity presented itself, I was super excited. So I packed up all my gear, got it ready to go for the next morning because I was going to head out early, like 3 o'clock in the morning. Because when you're a landscape, natural world, or wildlife photographer, you already have an image in your mind of what you want to capture. But to be able to get that, you have to be set up and ready to go, and you probably want to be one of the first photographers there so you can pick the prime spots, because there's only a few, and if you get there late, they're all going to be taken by somebody else with a camera because they're waiting for a prime opportunity as well, understandably. So typically when my alarm goes off in the middle of the night to rouse me up out of bed so I can go out and capture an image I've been thinking about, it does take a little bit of motivation to get me going, but not this time. I'd waited too long to capture the Pretty Place. I think I actually slept in my clothes. I jumped up, grabbed my camera bag, and I jumped in the truck, and off I went. Now, since the chapel does stand on the side of a mountain, there is a windy road that takes you up to it. And the closer I got, the more excited I became. And then my excitement went through the roof when I discovered as I pulled up to the chapel that I was the first person there. I got to choose the prime spot for my shot. So I grabbed my camera bag and almost literally ran into the chapel to grab the spot that I'd been dreaming about before someone else drove up and beat me to it. Now, if you've never been to the Pretty Place or seen photographs of it, it is a sloping amphitheater that comes down from the top of the ridge where you start, and there's pews that go down, and it has no walls but a roof over top and a cross right down front and center that overlooks the valley down into Greenville, South Carolina. So I grabbed out my phone to use the Pills app, which is an app that photographers use, to discover where the sun was going to come up that morning, and I set up my tripod and my camera, and I patiently waited. I was there all by myself for a lot longer than I thought I would be. I thought there'd be other photographers pulling up any moment, but I sat there for almost 90 minutes in the dark. Now, when you're out in the middle of the forest in an amphitheater all by yourself at the early crack of dawn, every little noise in the forest gets you to jumping, including when I heard something crunching through the leaves off to my right. "Hello!" I yelled out into the darkness, but no one replied. The crunching came closer and closer. "Hello, I'm in here. You out hiking early this morning?" And again, absolutely no reply. Just a continual sound of something crunching through the woods. Then suddenly, out of the darkness, I saw him. A large black bear. He must have weighed about 350 pounds. He was huge, and he was staring me down. As you can imagine, my heart was stuck in my throat. But then it occurred to me, I'm out here doing God's work, capturing his artistry and beauty to share with the world. So I looked at this bear and I literally said, "Hey, Yogi, easy now. I'm just out here doing God's work. No reason to get crazy or nothing. Just chill out. Going back out into the forest, go find you something to eat." And that, thank God, is exactly what he did. After Yogi made the wise decision to wander back off into the forest, wise being the fact that I didn't have to suffer, and I was able to recompose myself from complete and utter panic, other people started to arrive to enjoy the sunrise. And I was never so happy to see another human being in all my life, because I figured that black bear probably wouldn't come back up to the chapel if there was a group of humans wandering about. Now all I had to do was to be patient and wait for the sun to hit the point in the sky that I had always dreamed about. And all those years of disappointment, planning out to go and only to have the weather go south on me, finally paid off. And I was able to capture the image I had dreamed about. As a matter of fact, it hangs in my home right now. And if you'd like to see it, it's in the blog that's associated with this podcast at explorewithrwd.com. But as I was starting to pack up my gear and getting ready to leave, I started to wonder, what was the history behind this chapel? Who built it? How long it had been here? What was the inspiration to put it right on the side of Standing Stone Mountain, opposed to down in the valley? Who had the vision? And that's why we're going to chat with Director of Camp Operations for the YMCA of Greenville, Nicholas Patton, next.
Don't wander off now. Explore with RWD will be right back after this.
And those are the melodies of Native American Matthew Tunai, who not only is a cultural storyteller for the Cherokee Nation in Cherokee, North Carolina, but also an accomplished and award-winning musician and Baptist minister. So how does Matthew weave his culture, his religion, and talents all together? Well, that is a story you have to hear for yourself in episode 4 of Explore with RWD. Or read about it now at explorewithrwd.com.
Welcome back to Explore with RWD.
And thank you so much for hanging out. I do appreciate you. Again, I'm Roger W. Downs, the host of this podcast. And as promised, our guest today is Nicholas Patton, the Director of Operations for YMCA Camp Greenville. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to be with y'all.
Now, I have to tell you, I did go up and check out the pretty place, or the Fred W. Sims Chapel. It is absolutely gorgeous, and photos, I don't care who shot it, don't do it justice. You guys do such a great job with the pretty place, and it's such a popular destination. How many people are you seeing this year, even with COVID-19 going on?
Yeah, so in a normal year, we see over 200,000 visitors come through the property. And this year, we were shut down for a couple months, so we're probably guessing about 150,000 visitors this year probably coming through. But it's definitely, leaf season is on its way out right now, so all of ours hit the ground last weekend. But it's been very, very busy recently with all the colors and just the tourists wanting to come see the view and the beautiful mountains up here.
I'd imagine it's probably one of the destinational points for anybody who comes through like South Carolina or Western North Carolina, especially if they're coming off the Blue Ridge Parkway and coming down into the upstate. So let's talk a little bit about the history of the pretty place. So a lot of people have seen it online. They already know about it. From what I read on the sign at the chapel, you see close to 400 visitors a day, which is crazy, it seems to me. But how did it get started? I mean, who was it that said, you know what, this is a beautiful place here on the side of Standing Stone Mountain. Let's put a chapel here.
Yeah, that's a great question. So Pretty Place itself was a part of YMCA Camp Greenville's property. So the Y of Greenville oversees and operates Camp Greenville that sits here up on top of the mountain. We own 1,400 acres of the mountaintop. It goes all the way to the North Carolina state line and then down the valley below. And so this property up here has been a overnight summer resident camp for kids ages 7 to 18. And the chapel was an integral part of the development of the camp itself. Camp Greenville came to the mountain in 1925. There's a picture down at the chapel of a couple of pews and a little cross sitting on the edge of the rock. That was the original chapel. Was the boys' camp at that time, having chapel services down there on the edge of the rock, looking at that view. And then as time progressed, Camp Greenville developed some more facilities, and the chapel itself began to get a more structure built. And so in 1941, the actual chapel building itself was erected and then has gone through some modifications and updates from that point in time. But the chapel was built there in 1941 on the edge of the property that was donated to Camp Greenville from the Cleveland family way back in the early 1900s.
Oh, wow. How many acres did they donate?
They donated the 29 acres that the chapel sits on. Mm-hmm. So just the kind of the end of the mountain curve right there was donated to us. And that's where the chapel sat and kind of the foundations of that piece. So.
Now, is it all surrounded by forest up there? Because when I went up, it was pretty early in the morning, I have to admit, and I didn't really see much besides trees. So are there homes up there, or is it mainly just kind of all that 29 acres is just for the chapel?
So it's just for the chapel. So the closest buildings to the chapel is the summer camp property. That's just down the road from it, where I'm based and our staff are located. And then on the other sides of the Camp Greenville property, one is Jones Gap State Park and Caesars Head State Park. And the Mountain Bridge Wilderness area is all below us in South Carolina. On the North Carolina side of us, since our property goes to the state line, is actually DuPont State Recreational Forest and some of the new land that they've just now taken over. So we sit right in the top of some real pristine wilderness areas that are just beautiful to be in. Add to that uniqueness of you've got to be at this destination, the long 4 mile windy road drive down from the closest highway just to see the chapel really adds to that.
So how did it get the Pretty Place name or nickname, I should say, because of course it's the Fred W. Sims Chapel, or was it vice versa? It was always the Pretty Place and then it was dedicated to Fred Sims.
That is a great question that I'm not 100% positive on.
Okay.
Fred W. Sims is actually the person that donated the funds for the chapel itself and got the naming rights for it. And Pretty Place has just been kind of the nickname that people have given it and kind of, I'm assuming, probably started before the chapel was, the structure itself was put there. Because most folks walk in and that's the highest comment I hear when new folks are like, oh man, now I know why it's called that. It is a pretty place. Like, you get that a lot from people. And so I think it's just kind of caught on over time and really been what we are known for and the true name that people share about it.
Now, do you all have services there for the YMCA camp as well then every Sunday while you're having camp, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we do. We actually host a chapel service for our campers. We close the gates and just have it for all the kids. And we, due to our session timing, we do it on Monday nights. Mm-hmm. So we go down about 7-8 o'clock Monday night, go in, have all the kids down there, sing songs. The kids groups, each cabin will come up and they'll sing a song they want to, if they choose to. And then we'll have a kind of mission moment and our exec will share a sermon for the night. And then we'll end as it's gotten dark and you can see the skyline and the cool view at night. And then they'll hike on out back to the property for their cabins for that night. So we do go down there, host our own little private services every weekday or every Monday night during the weeks in the summer. The rest of the time, we don't really host any other services other than our Easter sunrise service, right, that we did this past year. We streamed it live. In years past, we set up and have between 700 and 800 visitors come through for a big cantata service that we host in partnership with one of the local Baptist churches up here on the mountain as well. So
how many people can you fit inside the chapel then? If you're talking 700 or 800, because I don't think that chapel fits that many people.
Not at all. So about 350 people is all that the chapel will fit in the seating capacity. And then for that Easter sunrise, there's people just standing in the parking lot off to the sides in the pews and aisles, just so they can mainly hear the music and hear the service, but also see that sun pop over the mountains ahead of you.
Wow. So not only is it part of the camp, which, by the way, I do want to ask you, how do you send your kids to the YMCA Greenville camp then? How do they get involved in that? Because that sounds like a great time for my kids.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So check out our website, campgreenville.org. And we've got all of our summer sessions and camp weeks going on. We run anywhere from a 1 to a 2 week session up here at camp from start of June through the middle of August. Registration is currently open and filling fast. We're already almost at 50% full for next summer at the moment. And so it's got a lot of good options of resident on-site stuff and adventure trips where they can go whitewater rafting. We have a good mix of different options for kids ages 7 to 18 up here on our property to experience in the summer months. But yeah, check our website out for that for sure.
We'll certainly have to do that, because I think my son Christian, who's going to be 10, would love to go up to camp, because I'd take him out into the forest with me quite a bit when I go out to shoot photography, and he just loves all that sort of stuff. I'm getting a little too old for whitewater rafting myself. I still have the spirit, but the body's like, you don't have enough Advil. So, but it is a fun deal for kids. So, is there something people should know, like visitors who come to the chapel, should they check your website? Because I know I did that several times when I've tried to get up there before, and there's reasons you can't just wander in.
Exactly. So, a lot of people think we are a state park because that's where they stop in at around us. And they don't really realize that it is private property. We open and close those gates to the public so that they can experience the chapel. But at the same time, we host a lot of private events that are there. So checking our website, campgreenville.org, there's a pretty place tab, and we post the schedule at least 2 weeks out on there. And we keep it 100% accurate 100% of the time so that folks know when they can come up and visit and not get turned around when we have events. This year, we've got 351 events on the calendar for 2020. Yeah, so there's a lot of people getting married, a lot of services, private events that have booked through us down there. And so we have a lot of people come all the way up the mountain, get to the gate, and they get turned around because they didn't check a schedule. And so weekends are this time of year are very popular for weddings. And so we're putting them on. But this year has been really popular. And we had 90 events in the month of October and like 44 in the month of November right now.
That's a lot of events
in a day. Yeah.
That's a lot of events. I got lucky because I looked at the calendar. I'm like, wow, I can actually get in there and get out before it all.
Exactly. So yeah, checking that calendar is super key for anyone looking to come.
And now you said they can just go to your website, of course, and book in there if they like. And I know you have an event coordinator, I believe, who handles all that, correct?
Exactly. Yep. So we've got a chapel coordinator that if you go to our website, you can put through an inquiry. It'll go straight to her. She'll give you calendars, information, all of our guidebooks. If you are looking to book something up here, all that can be done that way. Or you can give us a call in our office and she'll be able to handle things for you as well.
And that's really cool because I would imagine if I ever got married again, I would want to do it right there because you have that magnificent view. You're in a chapel already. You have the cross there at the front of the chapel. It's just beautiful. And I would imagine every wedding photographer out there would be like, oh yeah, I'll go shoot your wedding there. No problem. You know, I'll even give you a discount because I can use that to promote myself. And you said you had how many weddings again for 2020?
351 is what we have on the calendar right now.
Wow.
And that number most likely will grow. We'll still put one or two more here in the next month and a half. So
now is that 2021 or 2020?
2020.
Okay. So wrapping up the year,
we'll probably beat the 351 at the moment.
Do you get a lot of people to go up there in December to get married? It seems to me like a weird time of year to be going up to get married at the chapel, which by the way is an amphitheater for all case and purposes. And
it is,
it's gotta be cold.
We don't get very many in December, January, February. Our main season is March through November. Mm-hmm. Is when folks do it because of the temperatures. But then we do have a brave few that want that winter wedding experience. And, so we make sure they know what to expect before they book because it can be very cold.
I was going to say it's right on the side of a mountain. When the wind starts to blow, I guarantee it isn't comfortable at all.
Yep.
So I wanted to ask you also as we wrap things up, what is your most memorable experience up there then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, because I get to go down there every day if mm-hmm. I choose. I get to take my family down there and experience it, lead tours and visitors. But I think for me, I walked down one day, I just happened to do it. I was going to do a drive through the parking lot, got out, peeked through the view down there, and I saw something I'd never seen before. I got out of the vehicle, walked down there, and I was able to see and experience a rainbow that was right there in front. The top of the peak of the arc of the rainbow was directly out from the chapel.
To
catch that picturesque view and just the moment to be there and to sit there and just take that in of, wow, that's like, I've heard about this, I've seen this, and just be able to sit there and kind of take it in. For me, the special magic of that place sometimes just passes you right by because you're down there, but to be able to be caught off guard on the day that I was just expecting to see the same thing I always see, is just such a powerful thing. And, days when there's no one there and the fog is just dropped and the clouds are down below and you're seeing over top of the fog, just the view just never seems to stop amazing you, when it does the things that the weather and the, being on top of a mountain, you get to see.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I really didn't understand how blessed that chapel was until you walk in and just feel God right there with you as the sun's going up or going down. So if someone wanted to get involved in helping to donate to the YMCA of Greenville or just the chapel itself, how can they do that, Nicholas?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. So for us, we have a donation box at the chapel that people can drop anything they want in there, any amount into that donation box. There's also a link that we have online, and there's a text to give link that's posted down there. And same thing for the chapel. So the chapel has its own donation fund that allows us to reinvest back into it, and just kind of confirm to it. But as a larger scale in Camp Greenville itself, we have our own scholarship fund as well, that people can donate to help send kids to camp so that they can experience our week-long session of camp and be able to experience Pretty Place as well and really get that full experience of being up in God's creation and in the wilderness and being able to really grow like you did when you walked down there, just be able to have that experience, but on a larger scale of a week-long experience for them. So our website, campgreenville.org, or the YMCA of Greenville website, there's always a give button since we're a nonprofit. And you can give to our scholarship fund, just select Camp Greenville and it'll go directly to those experiences that we're able to provide up here.
And that's awesome. And by the way, thank you for working with the kids, because I think getting kids away from their cell phones, the Xboxes, the PlayStations, the computers, their tablets, whatever, and getting them out to grow up like you and I probably did, is really a treasure now, because it's just so easy to get caught up in your phone. Literally, I went to, I think it was Bald Rock after I visited there, and there was a young couple sitting there on top of the rock looking at their cell phones. And I walked up and said, "Man, you're missing it." And they said, "Missing what?" I said, "All of this. You know, put your phone down, just chit chat, have a conversation. Who cares what's on Facebook or Snapchat or whatever you're on? Enjoy what you're doing here." So that's really cool. And again, how many kids usually come to your camp during the summer?
Yeah, so we normally see around 2,500 kids all throughout the summer. So
now, are there different camps or is it all one?
Different camps all at the same time. So, they come for 1 week, and there's a bunch of different camp options that they can do either on our property or we take them off our property. So lots of different experiences all happening at one time, all kind of base camped out of our property up here, along with day camps and other things that happen at our branches down in Greenville as well.
So. Well, very cool. Well, once again, it is Nicholas Patton, the director of camp operations for the YMCA Greenville. Thank you, sir, for your time. I do appreciate you. Is there anything else you'd like people to know about the camp or the chapel that we haven't discussed yet?
I think we've covered our ground a lot, so it's definitely been a pleasure to join you today. And like I said, I'll just remind folks to check that schedule online at campgreenville.org before visiting, and we hope we can see them as they drive by and enjoy the beautiful experience up here on the mountain.
Perfect. And I'll also put that link in the description for this podcast so people can easily find it and then either go make a donation, because if you were ever a kid at camp, please make a donation so another kid can go to camp. Or if you want your child to go to camp like you did, then you'll be able to figure out how to do it. Or if you want to check the schedule for the pretty place so you don't get turned away, do that as well. And I really appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Y'all are welcome. Have a wonderful day.
Don't go too far. Explore with RWD. We'll be right back.
Hey, RWD here with you, and I want to thank you for listening in with the Explore with RWD podcast, where we explore new areas, find out the history behind them, and also share the imagery. But that's a little hard when you're listening, right? So you can see a lot of the imagery that we capture while we're out exploring different areas, including videos as well, by following us on your favorite social media, which includes Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. Just find us at Explore with RWD. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised. Again, that's at Explore with RWD.
That wasn't too bad now, was it? Welcome back to Explore with RWD.
As we wrap up this episode of Explore with RWD, I want to thank the Director of Camp Operations for the YMCA Greenville, Nicholas Patton, again for his time today, chatting with us about the Pretty Place or the Fred W. Sims Chapel. Now, if you haven't been there yet, I would certainly put it on your bucket list. And I've included a link to take you to Google Maps to get you there directly in the description of this podcast. But next week, you certainly want to be listening, because do I ever have the story for you about a town here in Western North Carolina that made a difference for a lot of African Americans decades before the 1960s and helped them achieve the American dream. But that's next week. And look, if no one else has told you this yet today, I love you, and I know the good Lord above loves you. He has promised you that, so make sure to count your blessings, because life truly is good. And if you're going to bed tonight with a lot of guilt and sin on your heart, just get down on your knees and ask God to forgive you. And he will separate you away from your sin like the east is from the west. So until next time, peace, love, and coon dogs, y'all.
Thank you for listening. Visit us online at explorewithrwd.com to discover more about Roger, his photography, podcast, and adventures. Or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at explorewithrwd. Remember, we didn't inherit the earth from our parents. We borrow it from our children. May God bless you and yours. Now get outside and go explore. Explore with RWD is produced by Downs Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.